For us this morning, I'd like you to keep your Bibles in Luke chapter 5. In Luke chapter 5. The title of my message this morning is What? Me Change? And we're going to look at Luke chapter 5, verses 36 through 39. But here is the real issue. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you need a change. No matter what you think, you need a change. And you need a relationship with Jesus Christ. If you got saved, that was a change. And you can't be like your old self anymore. For us as Christians, we're supposed to not to be stagnant. We're supposed to change. If you're not changing, you're dead. You may be physically alive, but you're spiritually dead. The Bible says two things, that we're supposed to be changed from glory to glory. Jesus says through Paul in Romans chapter 8 that we are predestinated to be conformed to his image. If you're not looking more like Jesus every day, you need to change. You need to change. And also, we need to change in knowledge and wisdom and everything else so we can come to the full stature of Christ. Everybody needs to change. God is the agent of change. We need to let him work in our life. So Luke chapter 5, verses 36 through 39. And before we read, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this day. Lord, we ask that you just be with us, Lord, right now as we read your word, and we preach your word, and we study your word, and Father, the truth of it will change our lives. Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would have full reign here today. Lord, I pray that we would understand the truth of your word and that we would leave here different. We would leave here changed. We thank you for all that you do. Lord, I pray that someone here does not know you as Savior. They don't know where they would spend eternity. Father, I pray that this would be the day of their salvation. Father, for us, Lord, as Christians, Lord, I pray that this would be the day of our rededication, that we would just follow you with all of our heart and become fishers of men. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. In Luke chapter 5, verses 36 through 39, it says, "And he spake also a parable unto them. No man putteth a piece of a new garment upon an old. If otherwise them, then both the new maketh a rent, and the piece that was taken out of the new agreeth not with the old." You can't patch old stuff with new things. It doesn't work. "And no man putteth new wine into old bottles, else the new wine will burst the bottles and be spilled, and the bottle shall perish. But new wine must be put in new bottles, and both are preserved." But here is the key verse. "No man, having drunk old wine, straightway desireth new. For he saith, the old is better." This message is about change. And we know that we all experience change. An old Greek philosopher, Heraclitus, in a book he wrote called The Fragments, writes this, and we hear it today, that the only constant in this world is change. We're not the same today as we were yesterday. We won't be the same tomorrow. Situations in the world will be different. Situations in your family will be different. Situations at your workplace will be different. It will be a new day. We will all change. You know, change happens to all of us, and it may be forced on us. We are influenced by the world's events. There's no doubt about that. But to bring it a little bit closer to home, you know, we're forced into a change if you lose your job. We're forced into change if you have some health concern or illness comes in your life. You're forced if some accident, like with Vi, a car accident, forces a change. Sometimes circumstances come into our lives that cause us to change. But we know that God is always faithful. See, the one thing that does not change is God. He says, "I change not." Sometimes change may be forced on us. Sometimes change may be our choice, and we need to understand that there's consequences. When we got married, there was just the two of us. And then we decided to have a pet. And that little cat, that little dog, changed our lives because we couldn't live the same way that we did before. We couldn't take the vacations. There was always another consideration for those who are parents. That first child come in your life, that causes a significant change. It's a happy moment. But for that point on, forever in the future, your life has changed. Your life is changed by the decisions that we choose to do. You get a new house. Yes, your circumstances have changed, and so has your mortgage. Okay? Things change, and they have lifelong, lasting consequences. You know, Jesus talks about this, that we need to consider when we see change coming, what are we going to do? In Luke chapter 14, verses 31 and 32, it says, or what king going to make war against another king? What's this situation? This is a situation being forced on this one king because there's a king that wants to fight. Didn't ask for it. We don't know. But the issue is that change is going to force a choice. And that choice is going to have some consequence in it. And he says, sitteth not down first, and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000. So sometimes there's an issue of amount, and we would change our idea. Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth and ambitious and desireth conditions of peace. We see things a far way off. We see change a far way off. Folks, look over in the Middle East. We are in the last days. We are in the end times. Change is coming. It is out of your control. It was set in motion by God. And all these are circumstances that we need to understand. We need to consider the change is coming and make the right choice that has everlasting consequences. So we all experience change. The only constant in this world is change. Change may be forced on us. Change may be our choice because we see it coming and we have to do something about it. But Luke chapter 5 is a chapter of change brought about by Jesus. There's four changes that are seen in this chapter. And I'll give you a brief synopsis of this. We've already seen the first one about Peter, James, and John, how they had their occupation changed. They were fishermen, but now they are going to be fishers of men because they met Jesus. They saw what Jesus, what he could do. They understood he was God. In verse 10, again, in review, it says, and so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto them, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. Their primary goal for the rest of their life was not to catch fish, but just to catch men. Jesus changes your life. There has to be change. You go on down in the next passage of this chapter is about a leper who was full of leprosy. And he comes to Christ and he says, you can make me whole. See, a change in physical condition for the leper. There was no way he could get rid of it. There was no known cure for that. And in verse 13, it said he put forth his hand and touched him. This is Christ. Folks, we need to be touched by God today. That will bring a change in your life. It says, saying, I will be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him. God needs to make some instantaneous changes in our life today. Some changes are over time. But this was an instantaneous change. And then he said, go to the priest with the offering for being cleansed of leprosy as a testimony of what just happened to you. Folks, change should cause what we do and who we talk to. in what we say. So we see a change in occupation for fishermen. We see a change in physical condition for a leper. There's a change in the spiritual condition for a paralyzed man. The next passage here is about the one that was paralyzed and he couldn't get anywhere on his own, and he had four friends to carry him, and they were carrying him to Jesus. Obviously, these men had seen changes in people's lives from Jesus, and they wanted to bring this man to Jesus. And so we know the story. The scribes and the Pharisees are inside the building. The building is, the house is full of people. There's no way to get in. Everybody's outside kind of crowding in. And we know the story how they said, well, we got to get him to Jesus. And so they climb up on the roof and take off the roof tiles, lower him down in front. It says here in verse 20 of chapter 5, it says, and when he saw their faith, folks, the change in us impacts other people. It brings people to Jesus. And it says, we saw it, he said unto them, man, thy sins are forgiven thee. This was a change in this man's spiritual direction. Oh, it made the religious people go nuts. Who can forgive sins but God only? And Jesus said, okay, fine. You don't understand that I have the power to forgive sins? Get up and walk. And we walked. So when God meets us, he changes all of us. Amen. Not just the physical part. He changes the inside part too. Amen. Have you been changed? Have you been changed? Then the next passage, there's a change in relationships for a tax collector. Here's a man that's hated. No one likes a tax collector. No one likes the IRS. No one likes paying that check. But as he's going down the road, he sees Levi at the receipt of custom. And he says, follow me. There's no great preaching. There's no sermon there. There's no miracle there. He just calls Levi. And it says here in verse 27, it says, after these things, he went forth and saw a publican named Levi sitting in the receipt of custom, and he said unto him, follow me. There's no radical thing happen. Jesus speaks still small voice. Sometimes it's the little things that are the most important to God. But they still need to change. They still need to change. And we know what happened. He did. He left his collection table and follow Jesus. Not only that, he made a feast for them. And Jesus was eating with them. Oh, the religious. You can't be with that crowd. No, that crowd was changing. And folks, when we get changed by God, our circumstances change, our relationships change, everything changes because he's empowered those changes. But we need to follow God. There is no change in a Christian unless you follow God. So now we get to our text. This chapter shows a need for change in beliefs by the religious. This morning I'm going to challenge you. If you just come and think that church membership is going to get you to heaven, you're wrong. You need to change. Amen. If you think that your mother and daddy are Christians and that you're going to get to heaven based on that, you're wrong. You need to change. Amen. If you think because of the country you live in, you're going to get to heaven based on that, you're wrong. You need to change. He was talking to these people who were steeped in tradition, the Pharisees and the scribes. And they are going nuts because Jesus wasn't doing the things that they thought he should do. See, oftentimes people want God to change to their way instead of having God change them. And in verses 30 through 32, it says, but their scribes and Pharisees murmured against his disciples, saying, why do you eat and drink with the wrong crowd? With sinners, Republicans and sinners, Jesus answered, said unto them, they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. Jesus was sarcastic with them. He knew exactly what they meant. And sometimes you just have to tell the truth. Christ is always going to tell the truth. He says, I came not to call the righteous. And you could put the word self in front of righteous. Because they thought that their righteousness, their actions, their traditions were going to get them to heaven. The way you live is not going to get you to heaven. It's who you know. Amen. It's a relationship. And if you have the right relationship, it's going to change the way you live. He says, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. See, they needed a change in perspective. Maybe this morning you need a change in perspective. I hope this morning that you leave here looking at God a different way. Making a vow to serve Him in a more meaningful way. We need a change in perspective. They needed a change in practice. What they were doing was not working. And they needed to follow the one who had just cleansed a leper, who had just healed a paralyzed man, who had just basically made a miraculous draught of fish, who had basically changed a tax collector. They needed him. But you know, sometimes change is hard. And we see in this last verse here, it says, those that are stuck in the old don't want the new things. It says in verse 39, it says, no man also having drunk old wine straightway desireth new, because they keep on thinking that the old is better. I want to give you three reasons this morning why people don't want to change. We're going to look at it from the Pharisees' perspective. So the first reason people don't want to change is they were satisfied being the way they were. They were satisfied being the way they were because they did not know anything else. We've talked in class that this is how cults keep people in. They teach you things, and there's nothing outside of that cult that you know. That's how you can have repressive regimes in the world today, is because the leaders repress the news and they basically tell you what you need to know, what they think you need to know. And because people don't know any better, they just say, hey, this is okay for us. The Pharisees and the scribes and all them, they basically didn't know anything else except their tradition, and they didn't want to know anything else. We'll get to that in a minute. But here's the point. If you're comfortable today in your life, you need to get out of that comfort zone and come to Jesus. Amen. You need to follow Him. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, it says, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. See, they thought, well, we're okay because we're doing the right thing, because this is what God's word says in the past, and they had not changed. They needed change. It says, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. They needed to change, but they say, we don't need to change because we're right. We're okay the way we are. Folks, if you don't know Christ, you're not okay. You need to change. What they were doing seemed to be working. What they were doing seem to be working. Now, Christ gives an illustration in verse 37. He says, hey, you have a holy garment. You can't patch it with new things. Well, people just like living with the holes in your garment. Look at today's jeans. Okay? People just like holes. Don't have a hole in your physical life. Let Christ fill it. Don't have a hole in your spiritual life. Let Christ fill it. But you can't put Him into your old self. There has to be a new. And the Pharisees and the Sadducees say, hey, we're just happy with the holes. We're just happy with the rips in our life. We're just happy with all this stuff. They may not have known better, but the fact is that they weren't going to change because of it. Now I'm going to tell you a very scriptural parable. It's the parable of the lawnmower. This is a picture of the lawnmower that I have, the type of lawnmower I have. And you know, something that works, we just don't want any sort of change. I've had this lawnmower now for over 5 years. About 3 months into it, the little primer bulb broke. And so I can't prime it. I went online and looked for things and tried to find a new piece to put in there. And it was more cost effective to go buy a new lawnmower. But I'm not going to do it because I don't want to change. I want my lawnmower. And besides, the lawnmower I used to do my parents' house when I was growing up, they didn't have a primer bulb on it. So I tried to jerry-rig one. We can't put new stuff in old things that doesn't work. So that didn't work. And I said, aha, what I'll do is I'll just put some tape over the hole. And I'll prime it this way. God made gravity. So what I do is, and people will watch me do this, I'll do it out in the front yard when I get ready to mow. I'll take the lawnmower and I'll tip it up on the front left wheel, and I'll just let it sit there for a second. And gravity is forcing gas down in the carburetor. And I put it down, boom, starts up. I don't need a priming bulb. I don't need something new because the old works. The old works. And I've been doing that for years now. But folks, it's time to get a new lawnmower. But I'm not willing to get that yet. But you know, God brings things in our life that we just have to keep on dealing with. The other thing on a lawnmower is you have that little stop cable. That broke. And I said, well, how am I going to do this? Well, I took the thing off and I got some duct tape. And I kind of fiddled with the cable and put it back together and put it. It runs! Folks, you can't go through your spiritual life with duct tape and doing things the way God didn't intend them for me to go. But the whole purpose is here. That lawnmower's got to blow up before I get rid of it. But oftentimes our lives have to blow up before we get to God. Because it worked. What I have seems to be working. That's okay. That's okay. They were satisfied with the way they were. You know, in a spiritual sense, in Revelation chapter 3, verse 17, to the Laodicean church, Christ tells John to write this. He says, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of what? Nothing. And what? Knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Folks, being content in where you are right now, you won't change when you need to. Because you're satisfied where you are. Don't be satisfied where you are today. We need to be more like Christ. We need to have a relationship with Him. Secondly, they were scared of the consequences of the change. Don't ask me to change because there's too many unknowns out there. I don't know. I want control of everything. See, that was their perspective. That was their perspective. So they were scared of the consequences of the change of the unknowns that were involved. And you know, when we always look at the unknowns, we always look at the negative, don't we? We never look at the possibilities, the positive possibilities. Well, our mind is kind of worked out to look at the negative stuff. So I better not change because all these bad things will happen to me. They were thinking about this. In John chapter 11, verse 48, we studied this on Wednesday night. It says, if we let him alone, all men will believe on him and they won't believe us. They'll change and we'll be stuck where we are. But look at the problem. And the Romans shall come and take away both our place and our nation. We just are too fearful for that. We want to keep what we've got. The unknown is too dangerous to make a change. There are people lost and going to hell because they don't want to change because of the things that they think that they have to give up because they don't know about the joy and abundant love and grace of God. In Psalm 107, verses 23 and 24, You know, for a long time, people thought the earth was flat. Then people understood that they were round. And those in Europe who wanted the Asian spices were basically going around, and they went around Africa to get the spices. They said, there's got to be a what? Better way. And so we have Da Gama, and we have Magellan, and we have Americus Vespucci and Columbus and all those. They go west. No, that's the wrong way. There's monsters out there. There's the edge of the world. You're going to fall off. They found out that there's a whole nother country, continent, that they never even knew about. We're here today, folks. We're part of that. The issue is they're unknown. But they were willing to go out into the unknown. But in Psalm 107, verses 23 and 24, it says, they that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in great waters, waters where you can't see land, waters where all you can see is the horizon, waters that are deep below you. You don't even know where the bottom is because you can't see it. It says, these see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. Folks, you won't see God until you change and you say, God, by faith, I'm going to go out into the unknown. So faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For without faith is impossible. Please him. They were scared of the consequences of changing and following Christ because the consequences would happen in their lives. But they didn't know for sure. You know, some people change because of the unknown. Some people change because they don't want to be told they're wrong. They don't want to have to admit that they're wrong. And we all know people like that today. And they refuse to change because to change means that they have to come to your way of thinking or change the way they're thinking. In John chapter 8, verses 39 and 40, it says, they answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. We don't need to change. He's the father of faith. We know all the truth of the law. Jesus said unto them, if ye were Abraham's seed, you would do the works of Abraham. You think you know something, but you're wrong. That's what Jesus is saying. But now you seek to kill me, a man that have told you the what? The truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Abraham left Paran to go to a land he never saw before. He followed a God that he never seen before. He lived in promises that were impossible for man to solve before. And he saw God work. The Pharisees were in the here and now. They were the secularists of their day. They were the materialists of their day. They said, it's only about now. It's about what we are now. And they said, nope. You're not Abraham's seed. Because to say that Jesus is right would mean that they are what? Wrong. That's what repentance is. You got to give up what you're believing and get to the way God's believing. You have to humble yourself. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time. God resisteth the proud but giveth grace to the humble. Matthew chapter 23, verse 13. Later on in his ministry, he confronts the Pharisees and the Sadducees one more time. He says, but woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye what? Shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for ye neither go in yourselves because you're wrong. And if you refuse to change, you're wrong. Refuse that there's a God, you're wrong. There is a God. His name is Jesus. And he died on the cross for your sins and was buried. He rose again the third day. He brings a change in your life. But we need to admit that we're sinners. We need to admit that we've done wrong. We need to admit that we're not righteous. We need to admit all this other stuff. That was the problem that the Pharisees had. Because this issue about the wine was about their doctrine. The old wine Their old system of beliefs and their old doctrine was not going to get them where they needed to go, where Christ wanted them to go. So they were refusing to change because of having to admit they were wrong. They were scared of the consequences of change. Lastly, and really here's the real issue. People don't change because they're too stubborn. They did not want to change. We saw in the passage just a few moments ago, it says in verse 31, it says, Jesus answered and said unto them, they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. Jesus knew it. They didn't think they were sinners. They didn't think they were sick. They didn't think they needed God. They thought they were serving God. Maybe you're out here today and said, I don't need this. Maybe you're listening on the internet, I don't need this. Yes, you do. And I pray to Jesus that today you'll understand that and you will change. But you got to get out of being satisfied where you are. There is something more. There is an eternity. There is a heaven and there is a hell. You need to not be scared of what following Christ will cost you or what you're going to have to give up. If someone saved your life, you would give up anything. I see people in hospitals frequently give up their entire expenditure to find a cure. They're willing to give up everything because they don't want that consequence. Remember the woman that had the issue of blood 12 years? She went everywhere, and then she kind of came to a conclusion, there's no one but Jesus. They were too stubborn to change because they did not want to change. They were too stubborn to change because they thought they knew better. They thought they knew better. Matthew chapter 23, verse 15. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. What's a hypocrite? Someone who says they know something they don't. Someone says they're living for something and they're not practicing the same thing. He says, for ye compass sea and land and make one proselyte or one convert. And when he is made, ye make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. He also goes on and says, you're blind. You're leaders of the blind. And the blind leads the blind, you're all going to fall in the ditch. It's time to get out of the ditch. It's time to surrender to God. It's time to give up your stubbornness and be humble before God. It's time to change. Because any resistance to change is just an excuse. And it doesn't work. I don't want to change. So this morning, I say, I don't need this because I'm happy where I am. You need to change. This morning, I don't want to change because there's boogeymen out there. You need change. There is a God. He's a God of judgment. But he's also a God of mercy and grace. I don't want to change because I don't want to. No one's going to make me change. You really need to change. You really need to change. God calls us to change. He calls us to change. Paul writes to the Romans in Romans 10, verse 21. Now, that book was written not to the Romans, but to the Jews in Rome. And he says this. He says, but to Israel they say, all day long I have stretched out forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. Christ has his hand extended out to you today to change. To change what you're hoping for to get you to heaven, to change to salvation in him and him alone. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. There is no other name given among men under heaven, whereby we must be saved. I am the Lord. Besides me, there is no Savior. We need to understand his hands are open wide to you this morning. Do you know him as your Savior? If you were to die right now, where would you spend eternity? God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen. Do you need that change this morning? Christian, for thus us that we know who Jesus is and we know what he's done, he saved us. Are you looking more like him every day? You need to. That's what the Bible commands us. That's the will of God. And if we don't change, we're out of the will of God. It's a choice that we have to make today. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this time. Lord, just ask me this time of invitation. Father, help us to change and to choose you. Father, help us not be content where we are. But Father, we want something more better, that we press toward the mark of your high calling. Lord, help us, Lord, to run the race. Father, there's someone here that's not know you as Savior. Lord, I pray that today would be the day of the salvation. Father, when we start singing that they come forward, we'll show how to pray that prayer. Lord, I just ask for us that we would just rededicate ourselves to you afresh. Father, you say in your word that our inward man is put on new every day. Lord, help us to be renewed today and to be changed. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.